Good evening. Welcome to Tuesday night Bible study of Calvary Pandan at BP Church. We continue our study tonight on the book of James. Let us look to the Lord in prayer before we continue. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for another new day. Thank You, Lord, for this privilege where we can study Thy Holy Word together. Thank You, Father, for sustaining us, for watching over all of us in our going out and our coming in, and for keeping us in health and in strength. We continue, Lord, to pray for our leaders, for they are in a position to make a lot of hard and painful decisions, passing laws that will try their best to preserve and save the economy of this country and as many lives as possible, and also to keep all of us safe. We pray, Lord, for Thy mercies to be upon our home in Singapore, that Thou will be gracious and merciful to help us see this pestilence through, that at the end of it, we may see Thy good hand in our lives, for You have drawn us closer to Thee in prayer and in witness and in service. We pray, Father, for Thy Holy Spirit to continue to be upon our leaders, that they will continue to make equitable, just, and right decision. For in the days and the weeks ahead, we do not know what the outcome will be, but we know that You are in total, absolute control. For our trust is not in the word of man, but in Thy holy and precious promises in Holy Scriptures. We pray, Father, that tonight, as we continue to study the book of James, may Thy Holy Spirit be our teacher to encourage our hearts, to strengthen our faith as we see the day of the Lord fast approaching. Cleanse us and wash us of all our sins by the blood of our Savior, and may we all not be hearers, but doers of Thy holy and precious word of life. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen. We stop at verse 8 of James chapter 1, the last time we studied this book. Tonight we shall focus on four verses, verse 9 to verse 12. And the title for tonight's exhortation is True Wealth Revealed. True Wealth Revealed. As mentioned before, this epistle was written to the 12 tribes, which were scattered abroad because of their faith in Christ. They were Jewish believers, and their fellow Jews who rejected Christ persecuted them, pursued after them, and they now realized that what exactly matters in their life are no longer the things of the world, the people of the world, the things that are eternal, that the persecutors cannot touch nor take away from them. True wealth revealed. At first, when they faced persecution, many perhaps were murmuring and complaining, and so James wrote, by inspiration from God, to teach them to count it all joy when they fall into diverse temptations. But we know that these temptations are not sinful in nature, but they can become sin in our lives if we do not exercise faith to go through them. And so if we need wisdom from God to help us understand why we obey God and love God and tell people about the love of God in Christ, and all we get is persecution in turn, it can be very discouraging, disheartening to say the least, and we might even want to stop witnessing for fear of such persecution. And so we pray for wisdom to understand. To those who are rich and to those who are poor, they will have different reactions and responses to this understanding. And so in this passage for tonight's consideration, God will deal with both groups. Verse 9 will deal with the poor. He has nothing, but God encourages her to tell him, but you have everything. And then to the rich, the Lord will focus on how to help them even as they stand for Christ, as rich men and women with a lot of material things, are they prepared to lose everything for the sake of Christ? And if they do, what does that mean? If they don't, what does that mean? And if they struggle, how can they win the struggle and obey the Lord in the process? And so now let us look at verse 9 on how the poor ought to react and respond in time of great persecution and difficulty in life. Like what we are going through right now, our entire lives have been changed and the laws are getting stricter and stricter. We are now told that everyone who leaves their home must put on a mask, except those who are exercising. But the moment they stop exercising, they must put on their mask. And so we have to carry a mask with us when we exercise. And if we are caught without a mask, we could find ourselves in trouble. A fine could be facing us. These are strict laws to protect us. But whatever it is, all of us have to admit that even though after this pestilence hopefully is gone from our lives as soon as possible, perhaps, I'm sure all of us have to admit and confess that our lives have been changed forever. And to those who are poor, they struggle perhaps even more because what little they once owned, they now might have to give them up as well. And now from very little, they might have nothing. Nothing in terms of what the world consider as very important. And so the Lord said to them, let the brother, using a very tender term to describe fellow believers, believers who are poor, and so the phrase used is of low degree. The word low degree literally means someone that is not very far above the ground. He is very low, very near ground level. That means he is basically a nobody. He has nothing. He has no reputation. Nobody of any importance. His life may not impact the lives of many people very much, perhaps because of the profession that he works in. If you are just a laborer in the farm and all you do is to work hard in the hot sun for the farmer, the landlord, nobody knows you. You are just one of maybe hundreds, if not thousands, of laborers working in the farm. And so you belong to those who are of low degree, not of any importance. If there is any great important occasion in the village or in the city, you would definitely not even be considered to receive an invitation to attend. The governors, the leaders, the elders, all do not know you. And so to be persecuted for the sake of Christ, to run and to flee, even in such a low state, the Lord said to you, the Lord said to him, rejoice in that he is exalted. Stop thinking about how low you are in the eyes of the world. That had been your way of life, perhaps since they were born or since they were aware that they had nothing. And the Lord said, that has to stop. If you continue to use the standard of the world as the way that you look at yourself and look at this world and look at your life as a persecutor, one who is persecuted, you will not survive the persecution. You will not be able to count it all joy when you endure the many different types of temptations that will come your way as a servant of Christ. Because your life is already so low, and that's how you look at yourself. And now under persecution, it's even lower. Where are you going to find the strength and conviction of heart to remain steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? And so the Lord says that perspective of yourself, based upon the standard of the world, which is one of low degree, that must stop. If you do not stop, then you will be a bad witness for Christ. Because when you fall into diverse temptations, you're going to murmur, you're going to complain. There is not going to be any joy that flows out of your lips. And when people look at your life, they see someone who is grumbling and murmuring and indulge in self-pity. And so the Lord says, how to change that? Well, rejoice in that He is exalted. Passive voice. Exalted by whom? By God. By Christ. You are now a child of God. You are now bound for heaven. You are now a citizen of heaven. You are now so elevated above the ground, above everyone on earth. You are way, way above the kings and the presidents and the prime ministers on earth. That is the contrast from someone that is very, very low, hovering just above ground level, to someone who is all the way up to the heaven. God has exalted and lifted you up. Just think of how God considers you, a child of God. God's child. Just stop for a moment and ponder about this amazing truth of how God has exalted and lifted you up, a child of God, where you will have your home in heaven waiting for you. You have the whole world at your feet. All that your heavenly Father owns will be yours one day, because you are also co-heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of how the Lord has lifted you up from an eternal spiritual perspective, and not on what primary school you went to, secondary school, and what paper qualifications you have or do not have. All these things that once upon a time grip our hearts and give us the confidence, because the more degrees I have, the more money I have, the more titles I have after my name, the more confident I become. The Lord says, all these must stop. And you have to replace them with how God looks at your life. God has exalted you. God has lifted you up, elevated you to a position that is above that even of the angel, even above that of the archangel Gabriel and Michael. You are way above them. And that is why, compared to any human office or human being on earth, children of God, you have been exalted by your Heavenly Father, your Creator, your God. And that must be our foremost thinking as we go through this difficult time. This is a very, very good time. For the reality of what true wealth is in your life and in my life is now being revealed. How we react and respond to all the changes, to so many of our experiences that once upon a time were so important, more important than our worship of God on Sunday, more important than our Bible studies and the attendance of prayer meeting, more important than so many things that were spiritual in our lives, such as the fellowship groups that we used to attend, but now we can't, the Bible studies that we used to attend, but now also we can't. But in the past, so many excuses were used to soothe our conscience when we do not attend these activities, to make us feel not so bad that we don't attend Bible study because we have overtime work to do. We have our exams. We have our homework. We have our tuition. And so we cannot keep the Sabbath day holy. But now suddenly, all these things that once upon a time became, that were so important, now has taken a backseat. Even our government has realized that what is the point of studying so hard if everyone gets sick? But it's the point of working so hard and build up the economy when people die like flies, as we can see all over the world. And therefore, everything is now shut down. And the law is tightening up for our own good. We all agree to that. Because we all want to get rid of this pestilence. And if this is what we have to endure, so be it. How much more for us when we stand up for Christ? Because we are not trying to prevent a physical death as what the world is trying to do. We are trying to help sinners avoid the spiritual death. Because if they were to die in sin, they end up in hell. And that is why it is so important for believers, especially those who are of low degree, to think in terms of eternity so that they will be cheerful. They will not indulge in self-pity and murmur, but that they will rejoice in their heart truly, sincerely, with all their soul. Because to know that though they may have nothing that is of any material value in life, but they have something within their soul, within their being, the indwelling of the Spirit of God to help them, and the knowledge that they are servants of the Most High God, and they are also children of a loving, gracious Heavenly Father who knows what is best for us. And if He wants me to be of low degree as a witness for Christ, there are so many people of low degree who need to see Christ in my life. And so therefore, go out and be a holy witness to those who are of low degree, to those whom you know, to those who are in your life, and to those who are rich, for fear that they might want to give up Christ because they do not want to give up their wealth. The Lord has this instruction for them. But the rich, in that he is made low. The Lord has made you low because of your persecution. Many of the rich Jews had to give up land, properties, wealth, money, position, like Paul. He once upon a time had all those things to rub shoulders with the people of the Sanhedrin Council members, to be able to walk up to them and to see them without going through any hurdles, just to get a license, put it in his pocket to go to any Jewish home throughout the entire Roman Empire. And he could arrest them and put them into prison. That kind of connection the Apostle Paul once had as a persecutor of Christians. Of course, that position comes with a lot of status and power and money. He had them all. He knew who he was, of the tribe of Benjamin. All these things he once had. But he gave them all up for the sake of Christ. And so the Bible tells us, for the rich, you have to stop measuring yourself with the standard of the world. Just as the poor, they try to measure themselves based upon the standard of the world that they do not have. The rich, you have to stop measuring yourself by the standard of the world that you have, because you have been made low by Christ. Not so much in terms of losing all your material possessions and titles, but also when you accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, did your journey of salvation not begin with the bankruptcy of spirit? To know that before God, you are just like everyone on earth, rich or poor, bankrupt in our spirit, beggarly-like in our spirit. And that's how we all turn to Christ as Lord and as Savior, because we all know that we have sinned against God. We all have to admit that there is nothing that you and I can ever have on this earth that can appease the wrath of God that is upon all of us because of the many transgressions that we have committed against Him. From the day we were born, we were already born in sin. And then the number of sins that we have committed in our heart, in our mind, in our lips, and with our hands, and with our feet, we can't even count them. And that's how the Lord convicted us, and that's how the Lord has made us low. Just as the Lord has exalted the poor by salvation, the Lord has made the rich low in order for them to experience salvation. Because like the flower of the grass, he has passed away. He shall pass away. The Lord used this illustration. Flowers of the grass, very common in Palestine. It's all over. It's a very green, lush country. And so when they look at this flower of the grass, very beautiful, very colorful, but it lasts only a short while, a brief moment. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth. These are the wildflowers, similar to the illustration given by Christ in the Sermon on the Mount when he preached to the great multitude, teaching them to seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things the Lord will provide. You look at the flowers. They did not have to work hard. They only appear for a moment. They are dressed in a manner by God so far greater even than that of the clothing of King Solomon. And yet, by the noonday sun, the heat that bears down on them, by evening time, they would dry up, they would die. And then the next day, the people will cut them down and use them in the oven to bake their bread. And yet, for that brief moment in time, they were dressed in such a manner of great beauty and texture that is far superior even than the best garment of King Solomon's time. And the rich people, you are like these flowers, so rich, so brilliant, and so much elevated by the world. But isn't it for a moment, just for a short while, like these beautiful flowers? Because one day, you and I will die. And so the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. You and I have seen this. You've seen this in the past billionaires of the world. You've seen this in the billionaires of today as well. You look at all the very, very rich, powerful men of our 21st century, the 10 richest people on earth. You look at them physically. You look at how they have aged. And you and I know that one day their time on earth will be over. They are just as frightened of COVID-19 as the beggar in the street. Maybe even more, because they feel that they have so much more to lose. And so they are frightened. And they want to keep themselves safe more than the beggars in the street. And so therefore, to the rich Jewish believers who are also facing persecution, do not let your wealth and your position on earth cause you to make the wrong decision. So much so that you are afraid. You're afraid to stand up for Christ because you feel that you have so much to lose. You don't have much to lose. Because what you have is just like the beauty of the flower. It is fleeting. It is but for a moment. It is not true wealth. The true wealth will be revealed by how you react and respond in relation to Christ. Do you really, really love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind? Now is the time for it to be revealed in your own heart, in your own soul. Because I believe verses 10 and 11 apply more to many of us in Singapore. And verse 9, because of our first world country, many of us have our education, many of us have our degrees and the titles after our names and the positions that are given to us in the world. And so very often we think that all these things are so precious and so important. These are all the things that matters in life. But the Lord says, you look at the flowers, look at the flower of the grass, look at them. You are like them, exactly like them. Do not give up what is truly rich, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, eternity, and hold on to that which you think is wealth. It is not. It is not. It is fool's gold. It has the glitter. But if you were to dissect it, look at it very carefully, it is so fleeting. You realize that naked you came into this world, naked you will leave this world. And so whatever you have, whatever you own, you can't take one thing with you. You know that. You have seen that. And why, therefore, do you still not learn from the observations that you find in others? Why do you not make the right decision to hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ, even if they take everything from you? The last dollar, even if you are the richest man on earth, the billions and billions that you have is nothing compared to what you have in Christ Jesus. The deliverance from the bondage of sin, the removal of the penalty of sin, which is death and hell. And now you have a place prepared for you in heaven by the Lord himself. That one day, when your sojourn here on earth is done, the Lord is waiting to receive you and to welcome you home. Do not give up this eternal, blessed hope for that which is the flower of the grass, which will fall, and the beauty and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. And so shall the rich man fade away in his ways. True wealth is revealed. Two examples to tell us what it is not. For the poor of low degree, you have been exalted in Christ Jesus as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Never stop seeing yourself in this light, in Christ. And for those who are rich, stop measuring yourself by the abundance of what you possess and what the world's accolades have heaped upon you. That must not be our confidence. Our confidence must be in Christ and Christ alone. That even if we lose everything, and if we have Christ, we have everything. And that's exactly what verse 12 says. Blessed is the man, whether he is of low degree or whether he is rich, it does not matter to God. Everyone needs salvation in Christ Jesus. So blessed is the man. And the word blessed is used by God here to describe someone who is very happy. Happy not because of anything external, but happy because he knows he has a personal, intimate, real, genuine relationship with God in Christ. Because this is God's definition of blessed, not my definition, not I call you blessed. It is God who call this man blessed. He endureth temptation. Now, this is the wisdom that the Bible speaks of that we need to pray and ask God to help us understand. And this is the wisdom in the face of persecution for those who are of low degree. This is how you react and respond. The wisdom for the rich. This is how you ought to react and respond. Because if you respond correctly and you endure to the very end, and you did not and allow the riches of this world to taint your witness for Christ, but you held on to Christ, even if it means losing all things carnal, blessed is that man, God says. You are blessed of God, for you endure temptation, the same word that is used in the first few verses. For when he is tried, he is tested. How long that temptation lasts, it's up to the Lord. We mentioned the last time it could be a few weeks, it could be a few months, and sometimes it could even be years. And sometimes it might even end in death. But so be it. He shall receive the crown of life waiting for you. The crown of life that God has prepared for everyone who is a child of God. It is a crown that is for you and you alone. Only your head fits. It's your crown. Every believer will have his own personal, individual crown of eternal life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. This is God's guarantee. This is what it means to be truly wealthy in the sight of God. When you have Jesus Christ in your heart as your Lord, as your Savior, you have literally everything in life. Is this not what the Lord Jesus Christ said that those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have what he calls an abundant life, a life that is so rich, a life that is so full, a life that is so overflowing full. That's what it means. Imagine that kind of life can be experienced by us right here and now on this earth before you arrive in heaven. This is the life. This is truly the life of a wealthy person. Thieves cannot take it. Rust cannot destroy it. Neither can the moth destroy it. But all your garments, they can. All the things you have on this earth. Rust, moth, thieves can take them away from you. But this true wealth that you have in Christ, the crown of life that awaits for you in heaven, none of these things are found in heaven. There's no rust in heaven. There are no thieves in heaven. It's secure, it's eternal, it's forever. Your eternal life is waiting for you in heaven, the crown of life. And this is God's promise where he will never lie to us. He gave us this assurance that no matter what pain or fear or suffering that you have to endure for Christ, you rest assured that you will arrive home in glory. And that person is the one who will keep on loving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Lord says to them that love him. Because when you love him, and not the world, not the things of the world, it will be the love of God and the love of Christ. And he will protect you from bitterness. Because when you do all things constrained by the love of Christ, you must understand that the world will sabotage you. They will slander you. They will say all kinds of things falsely against you. And it will hurt. It will be discouraging at times. But it must never devastate you and destroy your holy witness. And the love for the Lord Jesus Christ as your singular and only motivation is able to sustain you through it all. Persecution. Whatever trials or difficulties, temptations that we are going through, like now. Many things have been taken away from us. It is difficult to go to church on Sunday to preach to an empty sanctuary. Never experienced that before in my entire life. To stand up there, and not a single person is there other than the pianist. The PA people are inside the PA room. And literally, it's empty. The feeling is surreal and is very strange. Sunday after Sunday. In contrast to other Sundays before this COVID-19 surfaced, teeming with so many people, the church was full of life. I long for those days to come. And so this trial that we are all going through right now must reveal to our hearts what exactly is important to us. What exactly do we consider as true riches in our lives? For students in the past, maybe getting A's in your exam, getting the scholarship, getting into that university, they might once upon a time meant everything to you. But I hope that through this COVID-19 experience, you may realize, just like the rest of the world, it is not as important as it ought to be. Your witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, your salvation in Christ Jesus, far outweighs your studies. Study hard by all means. Give your best, because this is your calling as a student, to study hard for Christ, but never at the expense of your walk with Christ, your prayer life and your study of Holy Scriptures, and your service and worship of him every Lord's Day. And parents, don't forget this message, because many of your young children, they depend upon you. Do not plan any activities or tuition on Sunday. Teach them the importance of keeping the Sabbath day holy. If the Lord tarries, they need to learn these precious lessons from you. And I'm sure that through this, hopefully you will open your eyes to this reality and this spiritual truth. And to those who are working in the office, now you have to work at home. And I'm sure many businesses are affected and impacted in a very negative manner. And no matter how hard you may work at home, you realize that it is never the same for almost everyone. In the past, our working life seems to be the most important thing in our lives. We're prepared to sacrifice Bible studies, night classes at FEBC, and so many things just to get ahead, get that promotion, get that bonus, get that extra dollar. But now suddenly you're faced with a pestilence that threatens your life, your health. And so suddenly we are awakened to the reality that that promotion and that extra dollar is not that important after all. But why must we as God's children wait for this COVID-19 to awaken us to this reality? We should have been awakened to this reality the day we accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior. And our journey as a Christian should open our eyes more and not allow us to forget that our eyes have already been opened, that we have already been taught by the Lord Jesus Christ to stop measuring ourselves by the abundance of what we possess, whether in terms of the accolades of the world or in terms of the size of our bank account, but only in Christ Jesus. That's all that must matter to make sure that we work out our salvation with fear and with trembling. That should be the singular, foremost, most important thing in our hearts and in our minds. We should not allow this COVID-19 to awaken us to that reality. But if this is what God has used to awaken you as a child of God to this reality, better late than never, isn't it? Better late than never. So I pray and hope that for those who are studying, for those who are working, we must understand what our true wealth is. And true wealth is revealed in our own heart by how we react and respond to the trials that we are facing like now. If we endure it through the end, drawn closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, constrained by the love for our Savior, to protect us from bitterness, to protect us from giving up, then God says, I promise you, there is a crown of life waiting for you, and I will receive you with open arms. Welcome home, my good and faithful servant. True wealth is revealed to us by the Word of God. Now the next question is personally, what is wealth to you in your heart, in your soul, in your mind? It must not be our family. It must be our Lord Jesus Christ. When it is the Lord Jesus Christ, your family will also be your primary care and concern, where their salvation would also be foremost. Because you know that only in Christ Jesus, for everyone in your home, can you remain together as a family for eternity. Because only the blood of Christ can protect us from death, can keep us together unto eternity in heaven. And that is why it is so important that not even our children as parents, not even our love for our spouses must ever, ever be greater than our love for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So that they too must know Christ, just as you know Christ as Lord and as Savior. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that in Christ Jesus we can count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations, even right now, for this trial that we all are going through doesn't seem to have an end that is in sight. And yet, O God, no matter how long it lasts, we know that in Christ Jesus, thou will be able to sustain us and see us through it all in victory. For if any one of us were to lack wisdom on how to interpret and understand all these things that are occurring in our lives, we pray, O Lord, that thy Holy Spirit will reveal it to us. And may we always ask in faith. And through the revelation in God's holy word, help us to understand thy love for us, thy care for us, and thy promises that you have assured us in Holy Scriptures. To those who are of low degree, and to those who are rich, who have been made low in Christ Jesus, help us, O Lord, to stop measuring ourselves by the abundance of what we have and do not have, but to measure ourselves only in relation to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to make sure of our salvation with fear and trembling, and to know that right now in our own heart of hearts, that if we were to breathe our last breath, none of us should have any doubt that we might not be found in heaven, but have this deep, genuine, sincere assurance based upon thy promises from Holy Scriptures, from the Word of God, the God who cannot lie, that we are truly your children, that if we were to breathe our last breath right now, and if the Lord were to come right now again for us, we will be found in heaven, safe in the arms of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, we thank thee for this wonderful assurance, for these are the ones that you consider as blessed, for they are the ones who will endure throughout the diverse temptations that you have sent in their way, and help us to persevere and endure to the very end, where a crown of life awaits us, and may we never be bitter or murmur or complain, because the love of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, constrains us, motivates us, that we will rejoice even in the face of many temptations. Bless our hearts tonight, O God, with thy truth, and grant to us thy assurance and thy comfort, even as we see the day of the Lord fast approaching, even in the midst of this pestilence. May your children lean upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding may continue to guide our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen. Good night and God bless. Thank you for joining us in tonight's Bible study.